doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Circling the Bases podcast from NBC Sports Edge. This is our MLB Power Rankings show where we break down my weekly Power Rankings column that goes up on NBC Sports Edge every Tuesday. We're recording this Monday night, what is it, June 20th? For some context as we talk about wins and losses and stats and whatnot. I'm Drew Silva. Joining me here and every week throughout the season is my co-host Janice Scurio. Welcome in, Janice. Thanks for handling the Power Rankings show while I was on vacation last week. I'm not going to talk about my vacation anymore because I did that Q&A after the Peacock game yesterday on Sunday with Chris Crawford, and I just grilled him about how much fun I had. I come back to find that it's late June already, and like All-Star voting is in full swing. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, is there anything specific that you're looking forward to from around the baseball world this coming week?
Yeah, absolutely. So while I was grilling you on eating chicken nuggets while you were on the East Coast the entire time, I was thinking of some interesting matchups this week. Shohei Ohtani takes the mound on Wednesday versus Kansas City. It's always a treat to watch him pitch. And you know how I love left-handed pitchers, Tyler Anderson, Tarek Skubal, Carlos Rodon. All those guys pitch on Wednesday. That being said, I'm going to go with Tristan McKenzie facing Sonny Gray on Wednesday. So McKenzie has pitched at least 6 innings 8 times in a row now, topping out at 7 2/3 against Detroit on May 29th. So he's been pretty great. So he has a 2.96 ERA on the season. So Sonny Gray is still coming off a pectoral injury and had a pitch limit in his last start, but he should be able to go a little bit deeper against the Guardians. And he has a 2.09 ERA going into that outing. So a little AL Central matchup there. But otherwise, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to this week.
I forgot about that chicken nuggets tweet and I just brought it up. I was at a bar, to be fair, where you can kind of bring in your own food, like this old fisherman's bar. And there's like a food stand next door that has the freshest seafood and it's relatively cheap. But those are deep fried scallops, you know, pulled out of the water that day. And then whole belly clams, which I love, but people think are weird because a whole belly clam means like it's all the guts of the clam.
Yeah.
You're essentially eating like clam poop.
That does not sound too appealing to me.
Well, it is appealing. They're fantastic. That's the only place I would order them in the world out there in Provincetown, like the very tip of the East Coast, because they're fresh and I know they're weird, but man, they're amazing. And I already miss them. Anyway, I'm not talking about my vacation anymore. I'm sorry to the listeners who tuned into Sunday's show and are listening to this now. A little promo read before we get started. Weekends are better with MLB Sunday Leadoff coverage presented by Uber Eats. Catch the Mets take on the Marlins in Miami on Sunday, June 26th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, live on NBC and Peacock. To learn more, go to peacocktv.com/MLB. And if you want a chance to win $25,000 on the game, download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter Sunday's free Grand Slam Pick'em contest. All right, let's jump into these power rankings. As usual, we will do a deep dive on each of the teams in the top five and then discuss the three key risers and three of the biggest fallers from the previous week to the current week. If you want rankings and observations on all 30 clubs, check out the full power rankings column on Tuesday. Usually goes up late morning, early afternoon, depending on how long it takes me to actually write the whole thing. All right, start us out, Janice, with who we have at number one overall this week.
All right, at number one overall, we've got the New York Yankees. So same old story. The Yanks are playing some spectacular ball. Their nine-game winning streak ended on Sunday, actually, even though they launched five home runs against the Blue Jays, but they still fell short. But otherwise, still holding strong and still overall the best team in baseball.
Yeah, another week, another extended winning streak for the Yankees, like you said. That latest one was nine games, nine straight victories against the Twins, Cubs, Rays, and Blue Jays. Finally snapped, as you mentioned, on Sunday with a 10-9 loss to Toronto. So, yeah, that was a near sweep as well of a division rival. This is the fourth time in franchise history that the Yankees have won 49 of their first 66 games. The other three times were 1928, 1939 and 1998. And if those years sound familiar at all to Yankees fans out there or just fans of baseball in general, it's because they were World Series championship seasons for this organization. Right now, a winning percentage of 742. No other team is even close to 700 in the winning percentage category. The Mets had the second best winning percentage entering play on Monday at 647. And yeah, the Yankees are at 742. For the Yankees, a 29-7 record at home, 20-10 on the road. They're 20-8 against teams with records above 500. They are number one in combined team ERA at 2.86, number one in combined team OPS at 7.72. Like, I don't know. What else is there to say? This is a juggernaut getting it done on all sides of the baseball, all aspects, on the road, away, pitching, hitting. I think major props to Brian Cashman and company, because a lot of outside pundits and like insider types too felt like their offseason strategy was misguided or like disappointing, definitely disappointing. But here we are. I think it's going to be a long reign at the number one spot in these power rankings for the Yankees. It's already been 3 or 4 weeks now that they've been up here. And I'm sure there's some sort of downturn coming. Like, baseball is hard and they're going to run into some losses eventually. But it's all smooth sailing at the moment. And the Yankees are 11 games up on first place in the AL East as we chat here on Monday night.
All right, let's go to that other New York team, the New York Mets, at number two. So on Sunday, Chris Bassitt went 6 1/3 inning, struck out 9. It wasn't enough for a win, but they did take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins. They are now 44-24, which is a pretty fantastic record.
Yeah, actually took 3 of 4 from the Marlins, including they had that Monday afternoon game at Citi Field. Yeah, won 2 of 3 from both the Angels and Brewers before that. So just more series victories to add to the Mets resume here in what has been a fantastic first half of the 2022 season in Queens. Yeah, Monday afternoon was a 6-0 shutout win over Miami, the 11th shutout of the year for the Mets, started out by David Peterson and then three relievers behind him to close out that scoreless win. 11 shutouts is tied with the Yankees for most in the majors, and that has all happened without Jacob deGrom and for the last month without Max Scherzer too. Updates on those guys: deGrom is doing simulated innings. He's aiming for a return sometime after the All-Star break in July. Scherzer, meanwhile, he's scheduled for a minor league rehab start on Tuesday when this podcast episode goes up. He could jump right back into the starting rotation as soon as this Sunday. That would be just 5.5 weeks removed from that moderate to high grade internal oblique strain that was expected to keep him sidelined for 6 and possibly even 8 weeks. So very positive news there that he's made a quick recovery. Even if Scherzer isn't quite ready on Sunday, it's probably late next week would be like a sure thing for his return. And then maybe DeGrom a few weeks later. So the best team in the National League, at least by win-loss record, and they're about to get a whole lot richer pitching-wise heading into the second half of the season. I think an easy pick there for number two in these rankings.
Right. At number three, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Tyler Anderson came dangerously close to a no-hitter last week on Wednesday. thwarted by Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers have not been playing some great baseball lately. So I can tell you all about the Craig Kimbrel experience as a White Sox fan, but they've been so good. The Dodgers have been so good that it hasn't seemed to really affect them in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a bit of a rough patch for them. They're just 7-9 so far in June on a 7-11 slide if you take it back to the final couple days of May. You mentioned Craig Kimbrel. His struggles have continued, even worsened. He's allowed 12 runs, 10 earned over his last 12 and a third innings. Daniel Hudson had a rough go of it in the eighth inning on Sunday, too, before that another bad appearance from Kimbrel. That all led to the Dodgers dropping 3 of 4 to the Guardians, who we'll be talking about here in a bit. So the bullpen issues, and then there's the Mookie Betts injury. He landed on the injured list on Sunday with a cracked rib, stemming from an outfield collision with teammate Cody Bellinger. Not an ideal time for Betts to go down, obviously, given the recent below average team-wide results. So yeah, the bullpen issues, the Betts injury, that's primarily where the doom and gloom stems from right now. But they do have 40 wins. And as you said, as we chat here, they are still in first place in the National League West. Gavin Lux is worth highlighting. He's hit .347 with a .938 OPS through his first 54 plate appearances here in June. I think it might be worth a move up the batting order for Lux with Betts not being there. Lux has mostly hit ninth, sometimes eighth, but I could see manager Dave Roberts riding the hot hand there and giving him some looks near the top. Lux is definitely a smart waiver wire target in fantasy if he hasn't already been scooped up with this hot stretch. We'll see how the Dodgers fight out of this. A long road trip coming up, 3 at Cincinnati, 3 at Atlanta, and then 3 at Coors Field. They stick at number 3 this week, but at risk of dropping if that road swing goes poorly.
At number 4, the Houston Astros. So please don't make me talk about the home run ball kid. I am so done with that. But after the off day.
I don't know what that is. What I was on vacation. I said I wasn't going to mention, but what is that?
That was just yesterday.
Okay.
So apparently, some kid caught the first home run hit by, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was essentially running this hard bargain where he was like, all right, so I'll give you this ball back if you give me like 4 tickets to a future Astros game. And essentially his price, it continued to raise as the jig went up. And so I don't blame him, but it got to the point where everyone just kept talking about the home run ball kid. And after that, I was just like, all right, I'm done. I am done with the home run ball kid.
Sorry I made you talk about it.
I mean, like, I kind of brought it up, so it's all good.
Yeah, fair enough.
So as of Monday afternoon at plus 53, they have the second largest run differential in the American League. And so, yeah, we could definitely start there.
Yeah, I mean, there was a case to be made for putting the Astros at number 3, definitely coming off a better week than the Dodgers. But I felt like we should just stay static here with the top 4 for now. Houston took 2 of 3 from the Rangers to begin last week's slate, then 2 of 3 from your White Sox. Before that, though, was a couple of ugly series losses to the Mariners and Marlins, which is why I'm not budging on a top 3 spot for the Stros just yet. I'm also a little worried about what's going on with Yordan Alvarez. He missed Sunday's series finale against Chicago with some sort of injury. Manager Dusty Baker declined to get into specifics about what exactly is ailing Alvarez. Like, it sounds like it's something with his hand, hopefully just a bruise or some soreness and not anything too serious. There's been a lot of that with the Astros this year, like cagey about medical issues, which I find odd. Like, I've been doing this a long time where – I mean, a lot of our job is like writing about injuries and the impact it's going to have. And, you know, like there should be some rules in place, or I think there are some rules in place about having to disclose the location of an injury and at least an estimated prognosis about injuries. All other teams disclose that stuff. And you know, with gambling on the rise, I would think that Major League Baseball and its gambling partners now are not happy about that caginess. But yeah, anyway, Alvarez had been on a tear, leads all hitters in batting average, OPS, and RBIs since May 29th. So yeah, again, hopefully it's nothing serious and we get a little more clarity about the situation ahead of Tuesday's series opener against the Mets. That'll be followed by 4 games against the Yankees and then the Mets again next week. So some big tests ahead for the Astros. I could see them rising up into the top three, but for now, I think it's right to keep them at number four and have the Dodgers stick at three.
At number five, the San Diego Padres. So climbing back into the top five, oh, welcome back, San Diego. So Manny Machado had quite a scary injury, and watching the replays of it, it made me extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the x-rays did come back negative. So we're looking at what might be a severe sprain. So they were swept over the weekend by the Rockies of all teams, although as of Monday afternoon, they are only a half game back of the Dodgers.
This was a strange and difficult week to compile the top of the rankings, because so many teams in like this number three to number seven range are coming off sort of disappointing, discouraging recent outcomes, including the Padres, who, like you said, just got swept by the Rockies over the weekend at Coors Field and lost Manny Machado to a severe ankle sprain on Sunday afternoon. The replay looked terrible. Like, I thought he broke it. Like, his ankle snapped in half. But sometimes those ankle injuries, like especially in basketball, they look terrible on slow-mo replay, and then they turn out to be just, you know, the players back in the game. Like, ankles are resilient sometimes, as long as it's not like a high ankle sprain. But yeah, the Padres did sweep a four-game series before that, getting swept by the Rockies. They swept a four-game series from the Cubs at Wrigley Field to begin last week's schedule, and they have 41 wins and are just a half game back of the Dodgers for first place in the NL West as of Monday evening. The Padres play on Monday night, late Monday night. The Dodgers are off, so we'll update that for the column. Yeah, just about to start a seven-game homestand against the Diamondbacks and Phillies. Luke Voit has been on a heater. He can help replace some of Machado's offense if Machado requires an IL stint. Voit has a 949 OPS over his last 92 plate appearances dating back to May 31st. In his last 11 games, Voit has four homers, eight doubles, 14 RBIs, and nine runs scored. He has battled some injuries and inconsistency since leading the entire league in home runs during the COVID-shortened 2020 season. But he's healthy now and showing what he can do when that confidence returns. Speaking of returns, there's still not much progress on the Fernando Tatis Jr. front. He'd been aiming to join the active roster by late June, coming off that March surgery for a fractured wrist. They said it was going to be 3 months. We're fast approaching the 3 month mark, but a checkup CT scan taken last week didn't show the level of healing that everyone was hoping for. So I guess we're targeting like mid-July possibly now, probably sometime after the All-Star break for Tatis to make his season debut. He hasn't had like a major setback or anything, and that'll obviously be a big boost whenever he is finally ready.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, so that does it for the top five. Let's go ahead and move into the biggest risers of the week. So at number eight, we've got the Atlanta Braves climbing up four spots from 12. So they won 15 of their last 17. They actually did lose a series to the Cubs over the weekend, but they've got quite a difficult schedule ahead. And perhaps this is what truly tests if they're up to the task.
Yeah. Defending World Series champs, they began the month of June on a 14-game winning streak before dropping 2 of 3 to the Cubs this past weekend. Avoided a sweep on Sunday, though, with a 6-0 victory, helped by Ian Anderson's best start of the season to date. It's fascinating. So the Braves were obviously a disappointment out of the gate this year, 10-12 record in April, 13-15 record in May, but they never lost 3 games in a row over those 2 months and obviously still haven't. That's impressive. Even through the early stumbles, managing to avoid an extended losing skid. And then they flip it on this month and are now in position for the third NL wildcard spot, while also gaining a bit of ground on the Mets for first place in the National League East. That's going to be a steep climb, but yeah, they're making up ground. Adam Duvall has turned it on. Michael Harris II has been a revelation. They're hitting. The pitching has looked a whole lot better. Like I mentioned, Ian Anderson coming around, Max Fried. We did a podcast a few weeks ago as part of Circling the Bases where we drafted World Series teams and looked at their updated odds on PointsBet, and I made the Braves the 10th overall pick in that. I can't remember what their odds were exactly, but it was high. It was like plus 2,200 or something in that range. And I wish that I actually would have made that bet. let me see what they are right now. I had it pulled up. They're plus 1,100 now, and that's tied for the 5th best odds. Dodgers at plus 425, Yankees at plus 450, Astros plus 700, Mets plus 800, and then Braves, Padres, Blue Jays are all at plus 1,100. I'm not saying I think the Braves will repeat, but that probably would have been a wise bet a couple of weeks ago before that winning streak really began to grow and got all the way up to 14, which was huge for them after a disappointing start to their reigning champion season. Up at number 8 now in these rankings and certainly on the right track.
Right at number 14, the Philadelphia Phillies. So they're 7-3 in their last 10. They had a pretty strong weekend in DC, overshadowed a bit due to Bryce Harper's blister situation. Apparently, he has a blister that's been pretty badly infected. But otherwise, the Phillies have won 14 of 17 games and have the majors' second best record in June this month. They're 14-2.
Maybe Joe Girardi really was the problem. Since firing Girardi on the morning of June 3rd, the Phillies are 14-3 and 15-3 overall since the calendar flipped from May. That includes a 9-game winning streak that stretched from June 1st to June 11th. They just took 4 of 5 from the Nationals. We had the finale of that series on Peacock, our Sunday MLB leadoff game. Mets and Marlins coming up this Sunday, as I mentioned in that earlier promo read. I do enjoy those broadcasts and the live Q&As that our Edge crew does after the games are over. I'm stalling here because I don't know how to explain what the Phillies are doing. Winning games in a lot of different ways, like timely hits, big moments from under the radar relievers, some guys I've never even heard of, and some crafty managerial decisions from interim manager Rob Thompson. There are still problems, like defensively, and with the bullpen, and those issues aren't going to go away magically, especially the defense, which we knew would be a challenge going into the season, and it probably can't be corrected on the fly. But they could pick up some relief help and try to sort of like outslug some of their weaknesses. Like that was pretty much their plan going into the year, and they're finally starting to do it. Just win games with offense and hope that your top end starters pitch well. Is it a sustainable strategy? I don't know, but it's working right now. And yeah, they're into the top 15 leading into a 2-game set at the Rangers and then 4 games at San Diego as this week plays out.
Right. See here. All right. So at number 16, the Cleveland Guardians.
I had trouble finding them too, because I don't think we've talked about them on this podcast.
I don't think so either. Yeah, for sure. And so as a fan of an AL Central team, I, for one, don't want to talk about the Guardians, but I will, just mainly because yeah, the Guardians are really creeping up on the Minnesota Twins, and they are just one game back for the lead in the AL Central that is as of Monday afternoon. So, yeah, they had a great comeback win on Sunday. So on their road trip, they were 5-1, and they have also won six series in a row.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we haven't talked about the Guardians on this podcast all year since – We focus on the top five each week and then the three biggest risers and three biggest fallers. And the Guardians have sat in the middle of the pack or like just under it for, you know, over the first 11 weeks of the season. So they just don't get brought up a lot on this show. But yeah, a three spot jump here, having won six consecutive series, like you said. They're 15-4 going back to May 30th, 13-4 so far in June. There's probably a case to be made that Cleveland should even be in my top 15, but we'll pump the brakes just a tad and see how this coming week goes. Three games at Minnesota, that's a big AL Central matchup. Three at home versus the Red Sox, who are on their own kind of rise. So interesting matchups there on all sides. Shane Bieber deserves some love. Remember when the season began and his velocity was down? Coming off that shoulder strain that washed out his second half last year. Well, he has a 2.18 ERA with 55 strikeouts over his last 45 and a third innings. Only 9 walks in that span. Just 18 walks in 78 total innings this season. He struck out 9 batters on Sunday against the Dodgers as the Guardians took 2 of 3 in that series against Los Angeles. That was the 33rd career 9-plus strikeout game for Bieber, which is the second most for any Cleveland pitcher through his first 95 major league appearances, more than Bob Feller and more than Corey Kluber back when, you know, he was winning Cy Young awards in the early part of his career. Bieber has lost some velocity on his fastball. There's no doubt about that. And we're not going to see the 14.2 strikeouts per nine that he put up when he won his Cy Young award in 2020. You know, that was kind of small sample size, but his command is impeccable, and he's been a bulldog this year for a team that had pretty low expectations coming in. Like, we knew they could pitch probably, but the offense has been better than expected, and it's all come together in the last couple of weeks. And yeah, maybe they can make a charge at a wild card spot and do some adding at the deadline and become a real contender with the arms that they have.
I do have to say, my guest co-host last week, Mikey Hedo, is a huge Shane Bieber stan. So
respect.
Indeed. I believe Mikey said that he writes about Shane Bieber at least once a year. So he basically showed me, yeah, there's this player that you develop this affinity for and you just help but just stay invested in them. For me, that's Gavin Lux. So you actually talked about Gavin Lux earlier in this podcast. So Gavin Lux is essentially my pet player. So Shane Bieber is my friend Mikey's. So
Gavin, it's been a rocky road for Gavin Lux, but you just knew he would figure it out at some point. He's so talented, and his AAA numbers are like just bonkers. A guy that hits that well in the upper minors is gonna figure it out at some point. And it looks like he might have, if he can keep this rolling.
Absolutely. The pride of Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes. Anyway, where all great baseball players come from.
Let's head into your biggest fallers of the week. So at number 13, you've got the Tampa Bay Rays. So this is a mighty big fall, but they've had plenty of one-run losses lately. So they had a pretty tough time against Baltimore. They're only 5-4 against Baltimore this season. Their loss on Sunday gave the Rays back-to-back series losses against the Orioles for the first time since 2017.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that was a rough road trip that the Rays just went on. 9 total games, and they picked up only 2 wins. Dropped 2 of 3 to the Twins, got swept by the Yankees, and then lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles over the weekend in Baltimore. They gave up just 23 earned runs in those 9 games. That's a 2.56 ERA, and only 11 runs over the last 6 against the Yankees and Orioles, a 1.83 ERA. But this Rays offense is showing its warts. It's why I was concerned about them going into the season. It's just not a very deep lineup at all. And with Wander Franco and Brandon Lau and Mike Zunino all injured, Manuel Margot now too, he's going to be placed on the injured list on Tuesday. Kevin Kiermaier as well. It's just like I don't even know who they're going to be throwing out there in the lineup on a day-to-day basis with all those guys hurt. Tampa Bay's front office and ownership like needs to make a commitment to upgrades at the trade deadline. Bring on some bats, some arms even, to help with some of the workload issues that could pop up in the second half with all the youngsters they have. And I know the Rays have real payroll constraints. Like, I don't really think they just cry poor like some teams do. Like, you know, they have issues, payroll. But, you know, maybe grab like a bad contract from some team and give up young talent so that the team that they're trading with eats a bit of the money. I don't know. They'll probably flip the script on me and turn things around. They're still six games above 500 as of Monday evening and holding that third AL wildcard spot, but there's work to do. A three game series against the Yankees now, like good luck with that. Yeah. Down to number 13 from number 8. Yeah. It is a big drop where we are in the season. Like sometimes I'll do that early on in the season, but yeah, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from the Rays right now.
Same here. Speaking of other things that no one really wants to see, the Los Angeles Angels are falling three spots from 14 to 17. So last week they were almost no hit by Tyler Anderson, but they did go on to take four out of five games out of Seattle. Mike Trout hit five homers. Yep. But this is still a bit of a mighty drop. So I was curious, what is your reasoning here?
Yeah, they did just win 4-5 against the Mariners. Mike Trout went bonkers, five home runs in five games, like you said. He became the first player in MLB history to hit four game-winning home runs in a single series, like home runs that put his team ahead for good. But that doesn't completely wash away what has been an awful overall stretch that goes back to mid to late May, and that cost manager Joe Maddon his job. That happened like the week between when we last recorded a show. Yeah, a record of 6-19 since May 25th, sitting three games under 500 as of Monday evening. Anthony Rendon is done for the season and will need surgery to repair major damage in his right wrist. He was signed to a 7-year, $245 million free agent deal back in December 2019 and has appeared in just 155 total games for the Angels while batting .252 with a 780 OPS, 20 home runs, 89 RBIs. Like, if you compare that to Rendon's final season with the Nationals, when he batted .319 with a 1010 OPS, 34 homers, 126 RBIs, and 146 games, it's pretty drastic. That was a third place finish in the NL MVP vote for Rendon that year. He'll be 33 this time next June, with a variety of durability concerns. I think that has the potential to be another albatross contract for Anaheim if it isn't already. But hey, like you said, they're coming off a good weekend and Trout is mashing. Yeah, positive thoughts, but I don't think it looks too good.
All right. So speaking of another organization who could probably use as many positive thoughts as they need, the Chicago Cubs, so they're number 25. Last week, they were number 22. They are 2-8 in their last 10 as of Monday afternoon. Their overall record is 25-41. Woof. They're pretty terrible, but at least Christopher Morel, Ian Happ, and William Contreras are good. David Robertson, whenever he has a save opportunity, he's been pretty good as well. So what do Cubs fans actually have to look forward to?
They won 2 of 3 against the Braves over the weekend. But yeah, preceding that was a 10-game losing streak that went from June 4th to June 16th. Kyle Hendricks got beat up by Atlanta on Sunday, his season ERA rising to 5.43. I got to wonder where Hendricks' trade value lies. Probably not very high, given that he's a low strikeout guy who also got knocked around a fair bit last year. Wilson Contreras should at least be a nice chip for the front office to shop. He's an impending free agent, so they're definitely going to deal him, I would assume. Unless there's like some surprise extension in the works. He's batting .283 with a .395 on base percentage, .532 slugging percentage. That's a .927 OPS, 12 home runs and 57 games played. Contreras has been the best offensive catcher in the league this year by a good margin. So he could bring back a legit prospect or two. It's sad that we're talking about trades already with this team, and and that we knew that we would be talking about trades this time of year with this team. They are for some reason operating like a small market organization. I can't say I understand it, but maybe whatever this rebuild is will eventually bear a lot of fruit. Christopher Morel, like you mentioned, he's a really fun player and young, and maybe he can prove to be a cornerstone. I think Ian Happ could get traded too. So another fun guy that could be on the move, but at least they have Morel, I guess. My little 9-year-old niece is unfortunately growing up a big Cubs fan because my brother has raised her in Chicago. So I don't know. I hope for her that they're a competitive team by the time she's like in her teens. She's 9 right now, so I guess that would be 4 years from now. That's
what to say. I mean, like, you know, Chicago has another baseball team, right?
Yeah, and I've been trying to say that. Like, make her a White Sox fan. But my brother bought season tickets to the Cubs, and I think because they're so bad and that this rebuild might take a while, they treat their season ticket holders really well. Like, any time they go to a game, like, she gets a little present, and like someone will come down and talk to them, and like they give her like these Cub ears. So I don't know. They've indoctrinated my niece.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
it's really sad.
I was about to say, yeah, as a Cardinals fan and as a White Sox fan, I feel as if we could like single-handedly fight this, whatever indoctrination the Cubs are doing to your niece.
I think she's in too deep. I tried. I was hanging out with her all last week and wasn't gaining any ground. I was trying to explain to her that she roots for a bad team, and she said, "Wrigley Field's cool." And I was like, I can't deny that. All right. That'll do it for this week's Power Rankings show. Thanks for tuning in. Check out the Power Rankings column. Goes up every Tuesday on NBC Sports Edge. Rankings, observations on all 30 teams. Rate and review the Circling the Bases podcast. We love 5 stars, but any feedback is welcome. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Drew Silv. Janice is at Scuriosa. And peace out.
Peace.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.